for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday morning service of September the 2nd, 1995, of the Labor Day camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Kyle Palmer is the speaker for the morning.
Blessing to me. I call him my blessing. Kyle Palmer. He pastors a church in Texas. I'll let him tell you the name of it.
Celest. C-E-L-E-S-T, like celestial, meaning heavenly. Well, when I got there, it sure wasn't heavenly. You all have been to some small little towns. It was very interesting. But it's been neat. God has given me favor there and been accepted by the people. It's been cool? Cool. Okay, that's the buzzword for this time, huh? Yes, it has. This has been my first experience with pastoring. I've done evangelistic work and missionary work. You mean I didn't turn it on? Okay. So what do you do now, huh? Done other types of work, but staying in one spot has been quite unique. You know, when you're on the road and you're doing evangelistic work, you can pray for folks, and boy, I'm glad I don't have to stay with that, you know? But then when you stay in one place and pastor for a while, you have to walk through the nitty-gritty of people's lives. And that's challenging at times, isn't it? It kind of tests you in your faith in God. As you pray for this person, you go to the meeting and you go in the name of Jesus, thus and so. And you just kind of really hope it's going to happen. You say you've got faith, but you kind of go, well, I wonder what really happened. Come on now, let's be honest. None of y'all have ever done that, have you? We all do stuff like that. But when you get into a sticky situation and you prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and they're still not healed, well, it's a little bit of a test there. You keep on praying because I know that God is a healer. I've been healed. Oh, well. I'll stay a little extra today, huh? So. Oh, my. You know, it's interesting sometimes trying to preach. How many of y'all have got up in front of people and preached before? You ever do it? It's very interesting. I used to get all my notes prepared and everything. I've got a few this morning, but I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm just going to let the Spirit do it this morning. Let's worship the Lord a little. Where's Phil this morning? Is Phil still here? Let's worship the Lord just a minute. But as the deer pants after the water, so my soul longs after you. Let's just turn our hearts to the Lord and express our hearts to the Lord this morning. Amen? As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You to praise. Lord, we just bless you. Lord, you are our help. You are our strength. You are our shield. You are our healer. You are our exceeding great reward. Bless you, Lord. Sometimes we just have to press on into his presence. We get caught up in our world out there and all the concerns and all our needs. You know that? We get come with so many of our needs, and we have our eyes on our needs instead of him. He's the answer to all of our needs. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's our sufficiency. He's everything. And sometimes we just need to set aside all those lists, all our needs, and just come to him. Because he's our desire. Let's just sing that again. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Just play it, Phil. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Oh, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, while we were sinners, while we couldn't give a flip about you, you sent your Son and died for us. How much more so are you for us and looking for ways to bless us and help us when we've turned our hearts to you? Father, open our eyes to see your goodness, Lord. To draw us to yourself with cords of love. You said it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. Let us see your goodness and your mercies to us, God. That we can let go of these things that we've so tightly held on to, and things that we wanted so bad, because they were able to pacify us for a while. Your grace come and minister today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord is so good to us. So many times we get so wrapped up in our daily concerns. Who's not guilty? Preachers, people, the whole ball of us. It seems like there's everything out to entice us, to draw us away from the Lord. How would you feel if your wife's heart was always going after other people, or your husband's heart was always going after other people that were coming to entice them? How'd you feel? Now, we have someone that loves us far greater than a spouse or a friend could ever love us. And he has such good things to bless us with and bestow upon us. But if we don't guard our heart with all diligence, we're going to be drawn aside to different things that are going to try to fulfill. True? How many times through the day so many things come and pull? It pulls and pulls and makes so many promises to us. They're empty and hollow, aren't they? Boy, I've bit into a lot of those rotten apples before. Boy, it looks nice and shiny, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, it's kind of like the enemy of our soul came to Eve and said, "Hey, God hadn't said you shouldn't do this, has he? Did he? No, surely. He didn't tell you that you couldn't eat from any of these trees, did he? Now, you know about this following God. You can't do this like this. You really can't obey his word. You really shouldn't have to try that hard. You know what? You know what you've been going through. You need this to get you through for a little while, don't you? You know what I'm talking about? comes, all these promises. That liar. I mean, he's a liar, isn't he? How many times have you believed his lies this week? Too many, isn't it? And sometimes that old devil seems to be so big and so strong and so powerful. Let's turn to, where is it? Isaiah. This is one I was going to look at. Isaiah chapter who? Chapter 14, verse 12. And as you're turning there, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, I want you to think about this. Your submission to God is not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's really proved out when you hit the hard spots in life. You know, when His presence is here and you're able to raise your hands or feel His presence, it's like you go, oh Lord, my heart longs after You. True? How many of y'all's hearts were able to respond to that song as we were singing the Lord? It's a beautiful song. To You alone may my spirit yield. And His presence in here is here, and it's so good. Oh, it's good. But that's not where our submission to God really counts, is it? Is it? It counts there. But where it really counts is in the crucible of the fiery trials and the difficulties of life, when everything else around you is saying, don't do this. Don't go God's way. Here's an easier way. That's when our true submission and true dedication to God is really proved out. It says you'll know them by their fruits. When does a tree bring forth its fruits? Usually about summertime, isn't it? Oh my. Summertime. Kind of hot sometimes in the summer. But that fruit begins to bud in the spring. It can bud during our times of worship and our good times. But when the fruit really is coming forth is when it begins to get hot. And that's when our fruit should be coming forth, is when it begins to get hot. When you're in the fire. What's going to come out when you're in the fire? Is purity coming out, or are you just getting, I can't believe that, sorry, oh, no good. Nobody said that this week, have you? You haven't? It's just, let's see, I'll say it generically. I know this lady. I'll say it generically. Somebody may hear this tape. I know this lady. Oh, help me, Lord. I know this lady. Oh, man, she'll pray and cry and plead for her children. Hardly any of her family are saved. She's an older lady. Oh, she'll beg and cry and, oh, call for prayer nearly every other service, wanting her children to be saved. And you know what she'll do in the next breath? I can't believe them sorry kids. They're just good for nothing. They just don't do nothing right. What's the problem with that lady? Man, she needs to learn to keep her mouth shut. She's turning around, praying for blessings on them, and then she's turning around and cursing them. And she wonders why the kids aren't saved. Some of the family's into witchcraft. I mean, all the crazy stuff they're doing. And, oh, well, you can't confront her about it. You got to love them. And I think, love them? And here you are running them down, and you'll cuss a blue streak if you get mad at them. Been in Pentecost 50 years. Uh-oh, yes, been in the way for 50 years. Well, sister, it's about high time you get out of the way. Quit being such a stumbling block. Oh, my goodness. But we need to realize what we're doing in the trying times. God didn't promise we're going to get to be up on the top of the mountain all the time, did He? Like, boy, I like it on the mountain. I like it when I can raise my hands and shout and jump up and down and just stand there and cry like a baby. Boy, that's fun when God's really touching you like that, isn't it? But what do you do when you're out in the world and you're dealing with this person and they're sitting there and they're rubbing you the wrong way? Well, it's kind of like the kitty. You know, the kitty's rubbing the wrong way. Well, get up and turn around, kitty, so you'll be rubbed the right way. Sometimes we need to change. You know, we say, well, they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't act that way. They shouldn't have said that to me. What right did they have to do that or say that? Well, what right do we have, anyhow? Look at what Jesus did for us. What right did they have to crucify Him? Huh? Well, we're supposed to be like Him, aren't we?
Yeah.
I don't guess anybody here has been nailed to a cross recently, have you? Well, there's plenty of them around. You let a few of those words come out of some people's mouth, and you see what wants to rise up in you. Just let that be a nail to nail self back down. All right? Because if when we're shook, what's in this glass? How much is in it? It wasn't enough to shake it out, was it? Now, if I come over here and start shaking, How much can I shake before this brother's going to get wet? Huh? A preventionist or not? How much? If this cup is full and somebody pokes me a little bit, what's going to come out? Uh-oh, it's going to go, whoops, something's going to splash out. And guess who it's going to splash on? I guess that was one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit we overlooked, you know, when we get a little aggravated and something comes out. Right? What's in there is going to get shaken and it's going to come out. Usually at inappropriate times, isn't it?
Amen.
You get just pressed beyond measure and all of a sudden you'll say or do something and folks look at you and say, uh-huh, yeah, all right, yeah. But what's in there is going to come out. Okay, well, I've lost my total train of thought. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How have you been cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I'm going to ascend unto the heavens. I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'm going to sit upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. Huh. Yet you'll be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, look at this verse 16. I want you to see this. Now, how big is this devil we wrestle with? Now, how big is this problem that's in your life? Well, look at this. I thought it was really interesting when I saw this. It says, now, those that see you are going to narrowly, they're going to really closely look at you and examine you and consider you and say, is this the man that made the whole earth to tremble and shook kingdoms? This is said almost in astonishment, isn't it? How big is that devil problem in your life today? Hello, it's been there all my life. Hey, it's not that big of a deal to God. It's not that big of a deal. It's wrong and it's sin, but he can sure just kind of go, pff. You ever been walking through the house and see a little roach run across the floor? Well, I haven't. I saw one roach in my house since I've been there for the past year or so. And I was in the kitchen and I saw that roach. Judgment came upon him. The judgment and wrath came right upon that roach. You know, it's something that rises up in you. Something rises up in me when I see a roach. You know, it's like, you're dead, sucker. And then I cursed all the roaches. I said, you're not going to live in my house in Jesus' name. Hadn't seen any more since. So, that's cheaper than exterminator. And folks go out in the field and curse the locusts and curse the blight that's come on their field and God removes it. There's nothing wrong with that. I think them roaches and all that junk is just pestilence, and we're supposed to be what? Under the blessing?
That's right.
Why can't we curse them things and run them out?
That's right. We can.
You know what I first thought when I saw that roach? I thought, God, what have I done to allow this thing to be able to be in my house? I'm serious, though. I said, what have I done? Is there anything in my heart that has allowed the hedge to come down for this pestilence to even come into my house? And I didn't feel him tell me nothing, so judgment came upon him. Well, how do you see that little roach? Little old fella, isn't he? Well, some of them are little. I've seen some of them big old black ones. You go, oh my goodness, you squash them and they go all over the place and they're a mess. But your instinct is destruction comes upon this thing, right? And he sits here and he says, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and shook kingdoms? Hey, Jesus said we're going to what? Tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. I think that little cockroach has been sitting up there with a megaphone and been hollering in our ear and got a big projector screen and painting this big picture of how big and bad he is. Yeah, he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devourer. Yeah, I can speak. But in Jesus, we have got victory and authority over this character. We need to begin to realize that these things that we have considered so mountainous in our lives need to do like I did with this thing right here. Eliminating. Like I was laying in bed one night a few years ago in my home in East Texas, and I was laying in bed reading, and I heard this little scratching noise. And I looked around, it was real quiet in the house. Lord, what is that? And I reached and grabbed my cover, pulled it off of me, and lo and behold, there's a scorpion in bed with me. Well, I started praying in tongues. In Jesus' name, I tread on you. I ground into a little little brown pup. There wasn't nothing left of him. Why? Because I knew he was my enemy. What happens if you let cockroaches start in your house? They're going to multiply. And these things will try to come and sit on our shoulders and talk to us and get us under condemnation, intimidate us, make us feel like we're nothing, push us down. You know how tough it's been for you, sister. You've had such a difficult life. You know all the bad things. You know, he'll come and rehearse and bring up all these things. We need to take the shoe and begin to knock the daylights out of these things. Quit listening to them. What are we to do with imaginations? Cast them down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we got to do something about it. Let's look over in Genesis 1:26. Okay. I like the dominion. I think we ought to have dominion. Don't you too? How many of us have been under servitude to the powers of darkness? Has anybody been lost? Wait a minute. Anybody got any hands? Let's try this exercise. Anybody not been under the servitude of the powers of darkness? Come on. But Jesus has made a great way for us. It's back here in the beginning. It says, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after his kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay, this was Adam. But what are we to be today? We're after the seed of the second Adam. First Adam blew it, didn't he? We were all in him. So God had to come in and change our nature and give us the seed of the second Adam. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What did he leave out? Did he leave anything out? Okay. He gave him dominion. What happened? That old Lucifer was cast down, came and presented to him some mighty appealing things. And he comes to us in the same way, presenting some mighty appealing things. Studied and studied this. I believe it was something literally that they ate there, but I believe it was before that the consuming of the literal eating there. The sin was, it says, knowing good and evil. Well, that's a little bit more than just what the English renders it out. In the ancient Hebrew text, if we go back and study them, we'll notice that there's some... But let's expound on that. What it's saying is man took to himself the right to choose and to say what is now good and what is evil. Think about that. He rejected God's word and accepted a lie. And by doing so, he took upon himself whatever you want to call it that says, okay, I'm going to decide what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is evil. Look at our laws today. Okay, abortion's legal up to a certain age or whatever. Right? They have now chosen to declare what is right and wrong, independent of God's word. The enemy comes to us. God gives us his word so that we can live a great life. Christianity fun? You know, I'll tell you what, though. My Christianity for a lot of years wasn't fun. Boy, I'll tell you what. I was so religious, it was pitiful. I tried and I strived so hard to be righteous and be holy. Oh, man, I repented till my repenter didn't seem to work anymore. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, you strive and you try to measure up to what you think God wants. And then to allow him to begin to love me and to love me back to life. Oh, man, that is so much easier. And to be able to mess up. And who wants to mess up? I don't want to mess up. But if I do, it sure is nice to be able to run home to Papa and say, Papa, I have royally messed up, and I need some help. And the worst thing about it is that I wanted to do it. Come on, everybody look pious at me. Huh? I chose to do it, didn't I? I wanted to do it. It was appealing to me, saying that it had something better to offer me than what God does. And that's exactly what he comes to us with. God's word tells us some things, and the enemy says, hey, this is a lot better. Think about this. The picture show of the mind? Picture show of the mind? Anybody get them little pictures that come around? You see these little things and you rehearse these and come with all these fantasy spirits and all this other stuff. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to draw a picture up here in a minute. But we have to get this thing down. We have to allow him to be Lord. I hope y'all don't mind if I'm kind of casual this morning. God has really been helping me. I'm real. It's all right to be real, isn't it? You know, I tried and I strived so hard for so long to be so many things that I thought everybody else wanted me to be. And it sure is fun just to be able to be me. I was talking to somebody last night, and I said, you know, I even had some thoughts come to me yesterday. You know, how many of y'all been blessed by the services here so far? I was. I mean, blessed the socks off of me. And these little thoughts begin to talk to me. Oh, look how good a message they had. Look how good that is. And what are you going to share? Who do you think you are anyhow to say anything? All these little things and make me feel like about that big. And the Lord says, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? And I said, yeah, it's you anyhow, Lord. I said, what does it matter if I flub? The only reason I'm here is to try to bless you from some of the things that God has given me. Sometimes I'll shout and holler. Sometimes I'll run up and down. I've been known to roll on the floor in life. I've been a holy roller. I mean, we've had the joy of the Lord come in our congregation, and my. It's been very, very interesting. Very interesting learning to follow the Lord again. Yeah, I remember back when I was early saved, and I was just so in love with Jesus. You remember them days? Then I started going to Bible school. Then I went to seminary. Supposed to be educated, you know. Got all these string of degrees. Mother's got a wall at home with all the wallpaper degrees at home. You know what that meant? You know why I did that? Now, this is true confession time. You know why I really did that? I was trying to find some value and worth in my own life. I thought if I finally get enough degrees, okay, got a master's, got this, got two doctorates now, big deal. So now I'm supposed to be somebody, supposed to be good enough. And how many of us do stuff like that? We do all these thinking little things because we haven't found our value and worth just in the Lord loving us. And it got dry down the last year of seminary. Oh, man, praying and crying, God just helped me through the day. Forget devotional time and just worshiping in His presence and loving Him. It got so hard, and my heart just kind of began to get cold. But I knew that there was no other way to go but the Lord, so you got to go on. And you just keep on plowing, and you keep on plowing, hoping against hope something good one of these days will finally break through. Well, He finally did. After I repented, actually. But it has been so nice to begin to fall in love with the Lord again. Just to be able to talk to Him and look forward to being able to go and talk to Him and fellowship with Him. Now, how many times do we discipline ourselves to read the Bible? Discipline ourselves to pray? We got to fast so we can seek God. We got to do all these things because we're supposed to. But you know, it sure is better when He begins to strum the chords of your heart and say, hey, come on in. I've got some good things for you. And it's so much better. That's what He's been doing in me. And it's been freeing me up to just, here I am. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I like people to accept me. Who doesn't? I enjoy it when people like me. But you know, it's so much better to know the Lord accepts me and to know He likes me. You know, He's not this guy up there with the club ready to pounce me every time I do something wrong. Amen. I think about it in the Old Testament. He says, the blessings of the Lord will pursue you and overtake you. Can't you see them things chasing after you? But usually in our mind, we see God up there. Oh, I hope He doesn't get me on that one. I hope He doesn't catch me on that one. I hope He doesn't do this. I hope He doesn't do this. But anyhow, back to some train of thought here. God wanted us to have dominion. Adam sold out. And Jesus had to come. He followed the Lord's will. And he turned around and said, okay, you want out of that mess? Here it is. Here's the way out. And it says we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. It says we're seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers and rulers and might. It says he's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Great promises, and we could go on and on. But what do you do when it just doesn't seem to work? You ever had that? Well, I may shock some of y'all, but there have been times I've even questioned if God was real. You get in them really hard, difficult times, and the enemy will just start pounding on your head and try to make you doubt and question everything. Sit there, and then things just seem so real. All those lies seem so real. Hello? True? And he'll try to talk you out of something. I mean, just like healing. You ever had that, just that little wave that'll just kind of go across your body, just kind of queasiness for a moment, and then the next thought that comes is, you're catching the flu. You kept coming down with a cold. It's real, wasn't it? And what does it come to make you do? Reject what God says about us, that we're healed. You ever just feel that overwhelming sense of just failure come across you? Just feel like you're just a failure in life. Man, I can't do anything right. Try to please this person, that person, and try the best I can, but just a failure. Do we give in to that? And that crucible, that hard time, that burning thing, what have we yielded our spirit to? Let's see here. Now, my people at church laugh at me when I draw. So, it won't be anything unusual if you laugh at my great artwork. I think I can draw a circle. I do good to draw stick people. Huh? The circle looks like an oval, huh? No, that's not it. And this is a thought I wanted to share today. Why don't we experience what God says in His Word? Why don't we really walk around with the sense in our soul and the fire of God of dominion in our souls? It seems like every spirit that comes along is able to pull us and sway us so easily. Feel that way? This may not apply to everybody. Some of you may be on top of the mountain. I'll talk to you about a little thing that I learned in the Baptist church. This oval represents a person's life. This little thing looking like an L with 2 feet on it, we'll call that a throne, or the heart, or the center, or the course of the guiding force of a person's being. This is an unregenerate man, a lost man. Self sits upon the throne. He lives to satisfy his own self and desires. Jesus is outside of his circle. Then comes the little thing. You pray the little prayer, Jesus, come into my heart. Come in, be my Savior. And so Jesus come in. And so Jesus gets to come inside here. Okay, Jesus, you can come in and do some stuff. But I'm going to maintain the ultimate decision of what I do in my life. Right? Then you have one over here where they call it another second work of grace sometimes, or the rededication, or really making Jesus what? Lord. And so you put Jesus upon the throne of your heart, and now self becomes subservient to him. And so we have here, we have a lost person, and we have a sold out Christian. And then we have this fellow right here in the middle. What do they call him? Now, I live in a white black house, and I have a green red dog with a purple orange car. And I put gasoline diesel in it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? It's diametrically opposed. You're putting, I have a black white house. I have a white house that's black. Yes,
she said it, double-minded,
isn't it? They call this a carnal Christian. They give him a good security of salvation. Says, well, you'll get to go to heaven, but all your works will be burned up. You'll be saved as though by fire. But who's still ruling his life? You know where that comes? Let's turn over. Let me show you where that comes from. And I'm going to go into this for just a moment here. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. New Testament. Yes, you're in there. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 3. Yes, here's where they base this wonderful doctrine of the carnal Christian. I think it's Ryrie. In his study Bible, I meant to look it up before I came up here. Talks about a person who can be living in adultery, living in these sins, and he'll die and he'll still go to heaven, yet his works will be up. Flat out says it in one of his commentary notes. Yeah, you ever cut down a tree? Who's cut down a tree before? Cut down an oak tree or hickory tree? When you cut that thing down, it falls to the ground. What type of tree is it? Well, if you cut down an oak tree, what falls to the ground? What happens if you cut down a pine tree? A pine tree falls. Well, what happens if you cut down a man that's living like the devil, but claims to be a Christian, says that Jesus is his Savior, but his fruit shows itself as on the throne? How is that person going to feel at home in heaven? I mean, he's a misfit. There's no sanctification in the grave. Do you know that? Many people think that there's sanctification in the grave. Okay, when I die, you know, then everything will be all right. Hey, if heaven is not our frequent place of visitation now, we got a problem. Heaven should not be some far-off land that we're going to go to, but it's a dimension of walking in the Spirit of God, in the presence of God, and living in the life of God. And if that's not where we're living now, where are we going to go? If your nature is not being drawn out to the Spirit of God and everything within you is craving after God, then where is it going to be pulled to once it's chopped down? It said, "And brethren, I do not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you are not able to bear it, nor were you able. For you are yet carnal, for where is there is among you envying and strife and divisions? Are you yet carnal and walk as men?" Let's flip back over to, I think it's Galatians. It's either Galatians or Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies." And he's just over here saying, okay, you're doing all these, you're carnal. But what does he say right here in Galatians? He says, "And I've told you in the time past that those which do such things shall not" what? "Inherit the kingdom of God."
Please turn the tape over for the conclusion of this message on side two.
"And I've told you in the time past that those which do such things shall not" what? "Inherit the kingdom of God." Now, there's a false security that we can have if we think that Jesus is in our life and we're not living a life wholly sold out to the Lord. Jesus comes to sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. I mean, the whole ball of wax. He doesn't leave part of us out. Like some of the dualists would say, oh, well, you can be holy on the inside and love God with your heart, but your body can do whatever it wants to do. That's a hogwash. They don't call it dualism today or dualist theory, but that's what people do. They have a security thinking they can live one way because they have somebody on the inside that's supposed to get their ticket punched and they get to go through the gates of glory. They may not have a lot of rewards, but they'll get to go to heaven. You talk to them about the Lord. Oh, yes, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And then 5 minutes later, what comes out their mouth? Is it? Now, this is where we've got to be. Now, the problem with this fellow right here is claims to be a Christian. Put it in the light of a deliverance for a moment. This man's got self on the throne. What if he gets a little bit of jealousy in there? We'll put a little jealousy right there. A little envy, a little anger, a little lust. He's on the throne, so he's controlling these things. And guess what begins to come into his life? The powers of darkness begin working and building a root into his life, growing deeper and deeper. And he'll cry and pray for deliverance. He wants to be set free. Because who enjoys the torment of demons? Anybody been enjoying torment from demons recently? No, you haven't enjoyed it. And he says, oh, I want to be free, I want to be free. No, I don't like what this thing is doing to me. I don't like this. I want to get rid of it. I want to get rid of this envy. I'm not to envy. And so he tries to push this thing out and try to cast it out, and it usually comes back sometimes. Why? The root itself has not been dealt with. You may deal with the whole issue of envy. You may deal with the whole issue of lust. You may deal with the whole issue of jealousy. Try to get that out of your life. Cast the spirit out and pray and bind it all up and close all the doors. But here's the problem right here. That boy right there. You got somebody at the gate that's choosing to decide what he calls good and what he calls evil. You're never going to maintain freedom in your life until you say this. I personally believe that these people are deceived. Both of these end up in the fire. You know, we have been sold such a weak bill of goods for Christianity nowadays. You know, the garbage that I heard in seminary and the other stuff and what they teach you. I was a thorn in the side of some of my professors. They just loved me. See, I'd come here before I went to Bible school. But they teach such an easy gospel. Jesus wants to help you. Oh, He loves you so much. He wants to set you free from your problems. He wants to heal you. He wants to do this. He wants to do this. What a consumer gospel. What a consumer religion. It's all just for you. And guess who that appeals to? Woo! And this boy right here just eats it up. Eats it. Oh, I love it. Yes, God, come in and bless me. Help me, help me, help me. But who's still on the throne? He is. And he's deceived. And it's because of the garbage that's coming out of our seminaries and some of our Bible institutions today that I believe that's one of the root causes of our problem in this country. It's because our Bible schools have degenerated to the place where they turn out all kinds of garbage or ordain homosexuals, allow certain things to go on and say, oh, it's all right, we just got to love them. That came from Germany with the theology that was brought over during one of the wars when we had to have some more educated people in our country, so they sent our theologians over to Germany for them to be educated. But anyhow, we need to go back to what Christianity is all about, which is what? Loving the Lord with what? Mind, soul, and strength. How much is all? Now, what does that not include? Can you love bitterness and love the Lord with your whole heart at the same time? So what kind of position is that person in? I'm challenging some of you this morning that come for help seeking deliverance. It's there because you're letting it stay there. Jesus has opened the prison door for us to walk free. And if we want to hold on to those chains, we want to hold on to that stuff, we'll sit there and rot and go to hell. But we've got to love Him with all of our heart. Now, another little thought here. What's a fiery dart? Fiery dart? A fiery dart. I did say that right. I didn't have it dyslexic, thank God. But a fiery dart. The enemy shoots fiery darts at us. Hits us with these things. You ever had somebody say something to you or about you and all of a sudden it just hurt and it started burning? You feel it burning? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody not know what I'm talking about yet? Somebody or something will happen and just start burning. And burning. And if you're not careful, guess what's going to happen before long? You're going to be on fire with an unholy fire. And it's not good. And here's an interesting thought. What is it burning in you? What is there in you for it to burn? Have you got some dead wood in you that it kindled on? Try to light a green tree with a match. Now go out and try to light a pile of kindling with a match. What happens? What's the difference? One's dead and one's alive. So you get a fiery dart. It hits. It begins to burn. Before long, you're it up with it. How are we supposed to deal with that? Shield of faith? Well, where was it? How come it hit us? You know, the shield of faith is not there unless we have God's Word living in our life in that area. Living in our life. We can quote scriptures all day long, but that Word has to be engrafted into our life so that we now become the living Word too. It says, the Word became flesh and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. We ourselves are to allow the Word of God to become flesh, to become alive in us, where it's no longer us that lives, but it's Christ that lives within us. And the life that we now live is lived through the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. So when a fiery dart comes, say this is a person who's loving God with all their heart. Say that's you, hopefully. If this was you, you just got cast into the lake of fire. You were just cast into the lake of fire. You know there's no fire escapes in hell? And this fiery dart hits you, and you begin to feel this little fire. What do? You can go to God's Word and begin to take God's Word in that situation, but there's an interesting thing. That thing would not kindle on you. not be able to burn in you if there was not some wood or catch on fire. Think about that for a moment. If you're, when fiery darts are hitting you and you're getting burned up and getting bent out of shape, that says that there's something in you that needs to be burned out. So when this thing hits and begins to burn, well, bless God, just let it burn and you apply God's word to it and say, I am not submitting myself to these feelings, these desires, these things like this, but I will submit myself to God's word and I will resist this thing. And you know what? It'll burn that thing out and then God will bring life back to it. Because if you don't, the other option is what? You get burned up. Do I have anything else? Yeah. I want to talk to you a minute about the mind. Mind and will and emotions. We live in this thing. And we have to deal with battles that are real. Our mind is not to be the devil's play box. It's not to be the play box of the enemy. I like the charge that was given to Joshua. It said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, what? So that you may what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then shall he make your way prosperous. And then shall you have good success. Many people want prosperity and the good success. But first, that word has to be engrafted into your life. It's just like, any of y'all done any grafting? You have a little tree right here and it's got a limb come out of it. See my great stuff there? Let me call this a tree for a moment. Have a tree there. You're going to graft into it. And so you cut this limb off. Lob it off. And you say, oh, apple tree over here, I'm going to graft it on this one. So you come over here and you make some preparations and you make a little V in it, or depends on which type of graft. You take the other little graft and put it in like that and you graft it on, and then these two little pieces come together like this. And so you've got these two different types of wood and two things right here, and then you take and you can wrap it with some cloth or something moist, and then you put a piece of cellophane or you put a piece of aluminum foil around it. Tie off the ends right here and then hope it takes. Now, do you follow all that? What? You put these things together, you put God's word into your heart. You begin to meditate on it. You begin to ruminate on it. You begin to think upon it until you've digested it. The word meditate comes from the word ruminate, like a ruminatory animal brings his food back up several times and chews the cud. We need to chew the cud with the word and think about it and eat on it. And we need to protect that area of our heart and life. Just like this is put on the outside to keep it moist and also to keep it protected from bugs. We need to hide God's word in our heart. Mary took the things that Jesus said and she pondered them in her heart. She took the things that were said about him and she pondered them in her heart. We need to begin to ponder what God has said to us in our heart and not just allow them to go off to the side. We need to capture those things. Take our mind, bring it into captivity to the word of God. Do not allow it to be rummaging around. But we're to have the mind of Christ in you. What? A mind set on things above, not on things on the earth. We have to take dominion over this thing. Our will, we have to set our will as a flint, saying, I will follow God's word and I will obey him, irrespective of the difficulties, irrespective of the hardships. Whatever the fire comes, I will obey God in this situation. It has to be a commitment that's made. Jesus, you are Lord in my life. You will be the reigning factor. You will decide what I do, not me. I will no longer choose what I think is right and wrong, but I will choose according to your word what you say is right and what you say is wrong. These things right here, emotions will play you like a yo-yo. So many people live by their emotions. They're up, down, up one day, down another day, up one day, down one day. Why? Because they relate to God by their feelings. Hey, feelings are great. And I love to feel good in the presence of God. But there's times that my feelings may not feel that great. I go back home. I came back home one time and there were several problems that had developed in the church because I'd been gone for a couple of weeks. And my feelings didn't feel so good. I was sick at my heart. I didn't feel like I was on the mountaintop at that moment. But I said, hey, I have victory, and I am going to walk on these things. These things are not getting me down, and guess what? It wasn't long until every one of them problems was underfoot. We need to walk in the realm where we say, we will not allow these problems to get on to us. You can feel your emotions, but your emotions should not be the dictating factor in your life. Your commitment to God is serving him as Lord. It's what should be the dictating factor and the stabilizing factor in your life. Not whether you feel like you're up one day or feel like you're down one day. Amen? What's these fiery darts? It says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Hey, you just can't stand in the evil day. You remember the house that Jesus was talking about? One was built on the rock and one was built on the sand. There was a flood that came against both of those houses. The same flood came against the same two houses, and what happened? One's washed away and one stood. We're going to come under the same difficulties and hardships that other people do. We're not going to be exempt from those things. But we have got a place of refuge where we can be. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are delivered. He that dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hey, that's a good place to dwell. It's not determined by our feelings, but it's determined by His Word and His Spirit. He is faithful to His Word, whether we feel like it's working or not. He said He is faithful to His Word, whether we feel like it's working or not. We need to set our hearts and our minds like flint to seek Him and to serve Him with everything that we've got, whether we feel like it or not. There's mornings I may not feel like preaching. There's mornings I may not feel like going and visiting old sister so-and-so. Oh, no, none of y'all have been like that. Come on, put the pious face back on now. Don't nobody smile. Oh, don't get me started here. Oh, Lord. I don't know if I did hardly anything I was hoping to do. But I want to leave you with the thought to examine yourself. The Scripture says to examine yourself. So let's see whether you be in the faith. You got bitterness? You got anger? You got these things in you? Well, yeah, you can get a devil cast out, but if you don't deal with the root issues, guess who's coming back? He says, oh, I see you got my house still for me. Seven more, man, you're going to be a full house before long. Go in and out and up and down and back and forth. So, is our real problem the devil? Who's the real problem? They gave a command in the Old Testament that choose you this day who you'll serve. If the Lord be God, serve Him. If Baal's God, hey, go after Him. He said, but it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, that didn't seem that way for me for a while when I was trying to serve the Lord because I was so religious. You ever tried to serve the Lord under religion? Oh, man, it is so hard trying to... Oh, my goodness. I mean, I remember going into a church. Oh, Lord, help them folks. I had on a short-sleeve shirt when I went to this church. And, yep, my hair is touching my collar. My hair was touching my collar that day. Oh, my, they pulled me out of the audience. I got a spirit of rebellion because my hair touched my collar. Later found out I had a spirit of nudity because I had on a short-sleeve shirt. You know... And if I wasn't baptized the way that they said I had to be baptized, I'm lost anyhow because the blood was only applied in their type of baptism. Oh, man, and I strive so hard to be good enough for God. Oh, y'all laugh. You must know what I'm talking about. Oh, my. And it was so barren and empty. It was so hard to ever hear God say, hey, you did a good job. Wouldn't you like to hear God say sometimes, hey, you really did a really neat job there. I like what you did. Hey, that was good. That was really neat like that. Do you know God can speak to us like that? And we can have such fun serving Him that the rest of the stuff is bogus. Oh, but we got to be committed. Yes, we got to commit ourselves to God and serve Him as Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, help us. Oh, help us, Lord. It's not that bad. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He says, what I have got for you is specifically designed for you. It fits you just perfectly. It'll bring the greatest fulfillment in your life than you can ever have. He said, you can try it everywhere else, but he says, I've got for you custom made. Custom made suit, custom made car, everything. One that won't go over 70 miles an hour for some of us. But you know what I'm saying? He's good. He is so good. He doesn't want us to look at serving Him like, oh, I got to serve Him as Lord. I've got to really make this dedication and get myself all cleaned up before I can come to God. My. Hey, we come to where we are. He knows all about the mess. He knew all about my mess. When I first started coming to the Lord, let me blow your religious mind. You know what my favorite thing to do was? Smoke dope and read the Bible. smoke dope, and read the Bible. Hey, it almost sounds, it sounds blasphemous almost. But you know what? God saw my hungry heart. And he met me where I was in the midst of all that hell and muck I was in. And he didn't come with a club beating me up for everything I was doing wrong. But he came to set me free. And he has for us deliverance and liberty and a great and glorious life and future with him, which is so much better. Sit on the throne and pick the good things of God we want and try to keep the good things of the world we want. Amen? So I encourage you today, love him. And let him love you. It's so much fun. Well, I've seen so many of these folks look like they're baptized in prune juice and drank alum for breakfast. I mean, I'm serious. And I mean, you ever seen some of them? It's just like, got to be holy, and they, oh, I almost said something derogatory. But, you know, you can see them sometimes. And you think, oh, God, I don't want to go to that person when I'm having trouble. If I said what I was going through, boy, they'd grab me and rip me every which way but loose. Right? And how many of us have done the same thing to folks? Terrible. Oh, man, I'd come into a place, people would run. Literally, but people would leave. They'd think, oh, my God, he's here now. And God will show him what I've been doing. Because that's what I thought God used to do. I mean, so I'd go around and tell people what sin they've been doing, what's been going on in their life, and playing with the prophetic gifts and the discernment of spirits like they were toys. I didn't know any better. I thought that was what God was like, always coming to tell me everything I did wrong. But I found out that he's interested in telling me what I'm doing right and showing me the way out of situations. Boy, I'm saying things I may regret. Let me tell you how good God has been to me. Oh, Lord, help me. I was in seminary, and I came home one time. It was a hard, dry time, and I was looking for some help, you know. I used to be a bartender in the world. So I got drunk one night. Here I am, seminary. Boy, they'd kick me out if they found out. Got slobber and drunk. I was one hurting unit. Oh, Lord, help me wind this up. And I went back to my house. You ever know what it's like to drink too much and you're bowing before the porcelain throne and talking to Ralph and anyhow, the insides turn out and, boy, after all that happened for a while, I'm just washed up and just collapsed on the floor. The room's still moving around. And the Lord walked in the room. I mean, his presence walked in like, you know, it's like your insides just all of a sudden go, ding, oh, God's here. Like a kid just been caught with his hand in a candy jar or something. Now, what do you think he said to me? He didn't talk about my drinking. But he just came and talked to me about the pain that was in my life. I knew it was wrong. I got up, took a shower, and went in the bedroom. Sat down on the bed, and his presence came in there. And for the next hour and a half, I just wept in his presence as he came and loved me and ministered to me and reached down to the root issue of why I was even getting drunk. Because I was hurting and I couldn't deal and cope with the situation. I'd allowed education, I'd allowed so many other things to become more important to me than my relationship with him. And he walked in, didn't say a word about that. To this day, he's never brought that up to me. But he came to minister his grace and his love to me and to set me free. We serve a good God. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And when we begin to enter into that realm of experiencing his love toward us, and our service to him is just based because we love him and appreciate him so much, our Christianity is so easy. You ever had somebody you just love to pieces? You'd do anything for them. Didn't matter how much it cost. You didn't even consider how much count the cost. You didn't worry about that. But you loved them. And you just wanted to do something for them. And it can be just like that with our relationship with the Lord. Because we love him, because he has first loved us. And Christianity is so much fun. It's so much easier. So much easier than religion. We don't have to strive. We just abide in his presence and abide in him. Oh, his goodness. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that little song, You Are Lord. Oh, You Are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and You are Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue not Your Lord. Oh, He is so good. He's not as bad as the devil makes Him out to be. He is so good. How can you refuse someone that can love you that much? Oh, Lord. I love You, Lord. And I lift my voice. Here today. Just tear the scales off their eyes and the blinders that the enemy has put on their eyes that have hindered them from seeing You, Your goodness and Your glory. Reveal Yourself to Your people, Lord. Have mercy, Father. Oh, Father, I pray that You'd reach in and minister to hurting hearts, Lord. Hearts that have been torn by sin. Torn by the pulls and the destructions of the wicked one, that we would see Him in His place. This, or that we would tread on the serpents and scorpions and the cockroaches and on all these other things that try to rise up in our life. And that we would walk in fullness of joy in our relationship with You. I should have blessed Him, Father. Bless You, Lord. Lord, speak words to Your people. Bring encouragement and healing to their hearts. Give them hope that they can walk in victory. Rekindle the fire of love in their heart, Lord. Things that have grown down and things that have kind of dwindled. Things that they've tried to satisfy with other things in You. Should rekindle their heart with love for You. Feed them, O bread of God. Father, we ask that You'd bless the cooks. Once they prepared our meals, to minister to them, and even in our dinner time, Lord, Your presence would hover over individual ones. You'd be touching hearts and ministering to them, bringing healing, allowing them to see into Your goodness, God. You're not looking for ways to condemn us. You came into the world, Lord, not imputing men's trespasses against them, not throwing their sin up in their face, but You came to show them the way to life, for Your life and life abundant. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.